This is the Live Your Edge podcast,
episode 27.
This is Gilbert. Welcome to the podcast.
Today we'll be talking with Tom Ross. Tom is the CEO of Design Cuts and the host of the Honest Entrepreneur Show. His community has amassed over 400,000 designers from all over the world. Today, Tom will be sharing with us how he got started and what it means to be an authentic and genuine entrepreneur and how to really add value to your customers and your audience. Join me in welcoming Tom Ross.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to the show. Today, I have Tom Ross with us, and I'm really excited because Tom has been able to build a community of over 400,000 designers, and I'd like to let Tom tell us about his story, how he got here.
Absolutely. So I'll take you back a bit further than that because it's all relevant, I guess. But I started this stuff when I was 12 years old. I remember my best buddy at the time right-clicked on a web page, clicked on view source, and I was like, wow. It was like the first time I saw the Matrix or something. I was like, people build these? People code these? That's crazy. And so we started building websites together as a couple of kids, and we had all kinds of projects over the years. We'd be tinkering on stuff, just trial and error, learning the ropes. I kind of learned design and entrepreneurship and business simultaneously, and that was super helpful because that then led to developing an awareness of good branding as well as sales. And then through that, you know, the ventures kind of got a little bit bigger each time, a little bit better each time, still learning a lot, trial and error. And I launched a blog teaching Photoshop and design. That started to take off a bit. So in the first couple of months, it was getting 100,000 visitors and readers a month. That scaled up to get about 250,000 a month at one point. So that was kind of cool. And what I noticed with that was I had built a lot of this stuff based on marketing advice, right, that I'd seen over the years. So people were talking all about, you need to get more traffic, like you need to get more followers. That's how you know you've made it. And no one was talking about the stuff which I care about now, which is building a real community, caring about your customers, building loyalty and engagement and a real business. I think I made the fatal error of trying to learn this stuff through Google. So I was Googling internet marketing and this kind of thing. You end up on all the sleazy yeah. sales pages invariably. And there's a lot of bad advice out there. Mm. And so for me, everyone's telling me, well, get more traffic. And so all my actions were predicated on getting more traffic. And it worked. It really worked. I built up this pretty, you know, millions of visitors on my blog, and it felt pretty awesome at the time. But it was also hollow because whilst I made some level of business out of it, it wasn't enough to sustain me long term. It wasn't anything as meaningful as I really wanted to create because it was predicated on traffic first and community, you know, very much secondary. So when I eventually kind of funneled everything I'd learned and I got more clarity on this stuff and I found some better business mentors, I thought, you know what? Now the only thing I care about is engagement. None of the vanity metrics, the followers and the traffic, I don't care less about that stuff. I want to build a real engaged community. And that's the inception point of Design Cuts, which is my current company. And ironically, when I went super unscalable and I thought I'm going to build just this nice little community and get them to really care, that's when the thing really blew up and it kind of took off like wildfire. So we had traction from day one. And now we've grown it into a decent sized community. We've got customers every country in the world, and they're just a really incredible, like loyal, engaged, fun, positive bunch. So it's been a learning curve to get there. It's been a lot of mistakes along the way, and I continue to make them and continue to learn. But for me, where my head's at now is just engagement is king, and vanity metrics and what's traditionally taught in online marketing, a lot of it is not for me.
what you're saying is a lot of people are taking bad advice. They're going on Google. They're following all these gurus that are like, they all have different methodologies, and a lot of them are focused on traffic, which is not really the important thing. And if you had to do it differently, you would focus on more on the engagement. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, I'll give you an example, right? So naming no names, but we've partnered with tons of people over the years. And we have legitimately had partners with 5,000 people in their audience that have out-converted and outperformed people with 1 million.
Why is that?
Because it comes down to engagement, because you can get, it's the same thing on Instagram, right? You get people buying followers, faking it. Like, even if they're genuine followers, they really don't care about what the person's putting out. And then you get micro communities where they're super fans, you know, they love everything they do. They buy everything they put out. And that's such a powerful thing, and it's so rewarding. And for me, it's incredibly disparaging and disheartening when you've got a big community and you realize 1% care, or not even that. And so for me, I became obsessed with, well, how am I going to get a community of just that 1%? Because I don't care about the 99%. Like, they're going to be a drain on my time, my resources. I'm not really for them. They're not really for me. It's just not the right fit. They're very transitory. So if I just focus on the 1% who actually value my stuff and like it, and I go all in on trying to help them and bring them value and build relationships, that's a much more focused way of doing it.
So how do you identify and you connect with these 1% of the people that do care?
I believe you build community one person at a time. I say this all the time in my content, that people are shouting into the void, particularly true in social media, but you can also apply this to email marketing or marketing in general. People just shout out there and expect people to respond. And it doesn't work like that. It's like if you walked into a conference and just started being like, my name's Gilbert, listen to what I have to say, da, da, da. People would think you're crazy, and they'd pretty soon kind of, they'd notice you at first, but then ignore you, right?
Yeah.
And they wouldn't come over and befriend you and say hi. So how you would do it at a conference is you go shake people's hands, you see what you had in common, and you build real friendships. And I think it's crazy that the marketing world online doesn't push more of that stuff, because that for me is what works. Like, I've got a loyal tribe of followers supporting what I'm doing with my new show or my profile, that kind of thing. I know them all by name. Like, I've had one-on-one calls with many of them. And yeah, you have people on the periphery of that who watch your stuff, and they're maybe not as engaged, but my main focus is on that core group because they're awesome.
So you spend a lot of time having one-on-one conversations, whether it's in person or online. Your focus is really to build a connection with them so that down the road, they can be part of the community and they can associate with other people that are part of this community as well and add value together. Is that correct?
Yeah, pretty much. And you can do it all kinds of ways. So for example, at my main company, Design Cars, we got a cool community forum that we recently launched. Everyone's hanging out in there. And we just decided that we were going to do a weekly call. And so it might not be big numbers yet, but when you've got 20 or 30 people on a call and they're all hanging out and having fun and just chatting in general, and you can bring them some value through that, and you're not selling them anything, then that becomes something really cool. And I think what people don't realize is the impact a relatively small group like that can have, because people who are shouting into the void, they might put out a podcast for years and years and years, and they've got like 5 reviews. But if you've got 30 people who you kind of know personally and you've made friends with them and they support what you do because they really like it, they're happy to leave a review. So overnight, you know, you could have 30 reviews that are 5 stars, and maybe it sends you into the new and noteworthy or something like that on iTunes. Like, it can kind of perpetuate from that small focus group that you start with.
So there's 2 things that come to mind. The first one is Facebook groups. What do you think about those?
I think they can be effective, like anything, right? If they're done right, they can be effective. We have one. I'm a real sucker for message boards and just direct like DMs. And even group messages on Instagram. That's more where my head's at right now. I think Facebook groups are starting to slide into the same issue of organic reach that general Facebook content has. So I think before they were more effective, but I think they've become increasingly less effective. They used to be a real community hub where people were seeing every single post, but there's also a scalability issue, right? So as they scale and more members are posting content, if you allow that, then when you actually make the announcement or something that you want them to do or see as the owner, it gets a little bit buried, I think, compared to what it used to be.
Okay, so if you were starting out, like if someone were to start out today, you would not recommend them going the Facebook route?
No, I wouldn't say that. I think there are some highly engaged groups. I think it works. I think you need to try a bunch of stuff and see what works for you. But I'll give you a tangible example. So I've been helping my personal trainer. Lovely guy. And he's just starting to take this stuff more seriously with his online side of things. So I said, okay, well, out of your 28 clients, 26 of them are on Instagram. Why don't you direct message all 26 and just say, hey, for free, because you're a client, I'm looking to bring you some more value on top of, you know, you're already paying me, I'm training you, that's great, but I want to bring you a little bit extra for free. So you can message them, you can, you know, do some Q&A, get some of their questions, and then put that out as content and all kinds of stuff like that. And suddenly you've taken the relationship online and you can start to cultivate a fan there. And you're not cold approaching, you already know these people. But before you know it, 20 out of the 26 you're chatting with every week, and they're starting to engage with your content more and share it. And that becomes a little inception point. So I think you can do a lot of damage one-on-one. You just got to get started. Like it's more the principle than the platform, you know, whether it's an Instagram DM or a Facebook group, it's more the principle of not reducing people to numbers and treating them as people. Mm. It's relationships over data. I think there's so much where it's like, I'm going to get X number of leads through this funnel system and then spit them out like a factory line. And actually, when you start going deeper in the relationships you're building, okay, there's really interesting stuff starts to happen.
So what I've had is I've had these engagement groups on Instagram, and it's sort of like a niche, not like 20 people. Everyone is in that space, and everyone is engaging with each other's content. Where we see like there's trouble that occurs is there's several different time zones that we're sort of floating, you know, across. So we have people in New York, we have people in the West Coast, and we have people in London, we have people in Asia, right? So it's kind of hard to, when people post something and for us to go and engage with them and, you know, keep on track of it, it's kind of tough. And now looking back, like, would you recommend maybe to focus on, to start with one location first, other than the industry itself being narrowed down, also narrowing down on the location?
I wouldn't necessarily.
Yeah.
I think, you know, let's say someone wakes up the next day and most people commented within 10 minutes, but someone else does it 9 hours later. That's not the end of the world. I think the issue there is that in your group, and many people are in these groups, you're with your peers, you're not with your fans or your customers or your community members. So you're all trying to get the same thing. So it probably becomes a bit more unsustainable because there's a flurry of people sharing posts and you can't keep up. You have more control if you do something like that, but it's with your audience. And it's just you providing them with additional value. So, for example, I will message some of my followers and I've got a weekly call with them, which is free of charge. And I literally like consult on their businesses because I enjoy doing that. And it's my way of saying, thank you. You're some of my most engaged followers. You really support my stuff. This is my way of giving back. Plus, I just enjoy doing it. Like, that's an example of that working where you have more control, as opposed to being lost in a sea of noise of other marketers who aren't really going to be your ideal customers. They're not perhaps the people you want to be. Like, you could work with them as, you know, JV partners and things of that nature, but that's very separate. I feel like trying to gain the post engagement, that there's a certain lack of substance behind it when you're peers versus when you're going direct to consumer.
Okay. So this is kind of like two separate things. So the audience is, you want to be engaging with the audience. Maybe you create a group where you share your content with your audience on Instagram. Is that correct? Mm-hmm. And then you say you also DM the members individually, and then you have a call with them if they're available and consult their business. So my question is, You mentioned you're doing stuff that don't scale. So how can you go from there to like, what will your sort of roadmap be for growing that community? We talked about the first, you know, initial steps.
So it's kind of interesting because with my company, it's mapped out like this and it's proven that it can scale. It's just that invariably you can't have such a close relationship with 400,000 people. So what you can continue to do is pay attention to the core of that, who are the most engaged and do support you the most, and then provide the best level of service you can at the mass level. You can do that by eventually hiring and so on. I appreciate that it's more difficult if it's a personal brand, but with a company, you can hire out to maintain that level of care and due diligence. What I'm doing currently is I'm trying to replicate what I did with my company, but with my personal brand, where I'm going even deeper. And I'm just doing it for fun. So being totally honest, like, I know it works because I've done it by growing a relatively large company. But now I'm just doing it again on a personal level because I enjoy it. I think what's been quite liberating with that is I'm not just thinking about scale. I'm thinking I'm doing this to scratch the itch of actually enjoying helping people. And I'm just going to do as much as I can. And I'm not going to beat myself up if maybe I don't get to everyone or if I don't grow to 100,000 followers in the first year. I don't really care. I think there's so many people out there who say, I just want to help people, or I love helping people with entrepreneurship or whatever it might be, but their actions don't map to that. Like, you know, I had a call the other week. One of my followers had issues with her suppliers for her new clothing company, and she was having a meltdown. And so I jumped on a call and kind of talked her down off the ledge because I care about her. And then I've got the weekly call where I'm just trying to help them every single week. And then I'm responding to direct messages. I had a call earlier today, not even a kind of loyal follower, but just someone who is actually like quite a big name on Instagram. She's got like 800,000 followers and discovered my content. So we started messaging. And instead of me trying to be like, well, I'm going to charge you $500 for my time, I'm just like, yeah, I'm like on the phone geeking out with her, trying to give her some advice. And I feel like that's very anti what a lot of marketing is taught as. You know, it's not scalable. It's not getting that ROI. Your time is worth more than that. But I feel like over time it maps out really interestingly. It's like that 800K person, she could easily get 4 or 5 million followers. And if she's got 4 or 5 million followers and I've helped her, maybe down the line, she gives me a shout out, which explodes my profile, because she's truly grateful and she saw I was doing it with the right intent. Or maybe she doesn't, and that's fine too.
Yeah.
But the point is, if you really love helping people, then show it. And that doesn't mean just post a meme of like you saying some generic quote and it's like, man, I've helped people through that. It's like, no, like properly help them. Don't try and extort money out of everyone. I think that's what a lot of Instagram and so on plays out like. Yeah, oh, LinkedIn, it's so transactional, right? It's like,
or leaving LinkedIn.
Like, what can I get? I mean,
a lot on LinkedIn.
Once we're done here, unfortunately, I have to go to a birthday. But legitimately, if I didn't, and you're like, do you mind taking a look at my website? I would stay on the call for an extra 30 minutes and critique your whole website for free. I just can't help it. Like my best friend's brother the other week, he like practically whispered about starting a new business before I'm having dinner with the guy drawing blueprints for his business plan on napkins because I enjoy it. And I think you need to have that level of enjoyment, because if you're just transactional and it's like, well, I love helping people, but I don't want to help you unless you like, you know, pay my mortgage, then there's something kind of wrong.
You see it all the time. Like I receive a lot of, we met on LinkedIn, and the reason why your message stuck out to me was you are not trying to sell me anything, because I get like 10, I don't know, like 10, 20 requests every day just trying to sell me something. Yeah, like they're just saying, oh, and they're very generic too. They didn't really take the time to, I know they didn't do their research. I know they didn't go on my website. I know they didn't.
Just build a relationship, right?
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, to be honest, I've been so busy lately. Normally I would have gone a hell of a lot more personal with you than I did.
Yeah.
And I wish I had, but you know, I'm doing the best job I could, but like if I had
a job.
Yeah, like thanks man. If I had unlimited time, like I'd spend freaking half a day like researching everything that you're about on your website and like build a relationship up over a month and then make the ask. And that's maybe the approach if you're trying to go for the Tim Ferriss or whoever. You've got to put in the work. Like, I think it's crazy when people cast such a wide net and they're so generic with it. It's like, dear, insert name here.
Yeah.
And then they hide behind like, I will bring you value. And it's like, no, you won't. Like, you're trying to get value.
No one really cares about, I think people care less about the message than they care about you, right?
Mm-hmm.
And if they don't care, like if you have no connection with them and they don't really want to care about the message because it can come from anyone.
Yeah, I often say, I've seen this when people apply to work for my company. And there's nothing worse than when you can see that you're number 5,000 in terms of like who they sent their CV to.
Oh.
And like it's super generic. The cover letter is super generic. I believe I would be a valued asset within your organization. Da, 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 da. And it's like, if you you would know we don't talk like that. Okay.
Yeah.
And I've seen some great ones. There's a, I don't know if you know the digital agency Social Chain. Like they legitimately gave someone a job because the guy had watched all of their vlogs where a lot of it happens in their office. And then he pieced it together and he built their whole office to scale in Lego. And he sent that as like a physical job application.
Wow.
And they were like, yeah, exactly. That was their reaction. They're like, wow. And so I always advise whether it's like a job application or networking online or trying to make the sale, go deep and bother to put in that bit extra. Because instantly 99.9% of people won't. And because you will get that wow reaction of like, holy crap, like they bothered to do that.
So in the world of where people are trying to push, you know, to the masses, you want to go personalized and micro.
Yeah. And there's nothing wrong with charging. Like I've got nothing against entrepreneurs where that's their full-time gig and they're a consultant or whatever, but you better believe I'm to an extent milking it with my personal brand because I love being able to say, you know what, I don't want or need your money. Like I'm CEO in my day job, I'm running my company, I'm doing this because it's my hobby for free.
Mm.
And in a world of like $2 ebooks and people trying to extort money from you in the first interaction, I'm like, I'm going to help you for years and I'm not going to ask you for anything.
Mm.
And I think that that's brand over sales, obviously, but I believe that in the same way, you know, stocks compound interest over time. I believe that when you over-index on brand initially, I think the sales come stronger down the line. Mm-hmm. I'd rather make 5 million, 10 million down the line when I cash in, as opposed to make $500 now. The same way influencers do that with sponsorships, right? They burn their audience out with sponsorships so they get short-term cash. When if they built a long-term brand, they can actually build something big and valuable and meaningful over years.
So in your years of entrepreneurship, what is the biggest lesson that it has taught you?
It's a really good question. I don't want to sound like a broken record, but I think a lot of what we talked about, I think that it's so much about people and real relationships, and that plays out in every arena. It certainly plays out with your fans and your followers and your customers, but it equally plays out with partnerships and stuff like that. The number of partnerships where I just have a great relationship, and suppliers as well. We've got great supplier relationships. It's so much easier when you get on and you know each other and you've gone for coffee or beers or they visited our office and you enjoy working together. Mm. That's like old school business, right? That's how it works in the traditional business world.
Mm.
And I feel like so much of that is lost online and it's a huge missed opportunity.
Because people are trying to take shortcuts or make it.
So imagine if like in real life, people behaved like they do in LinkedIn.
Yeah.
Like in an office environment, everyone would be like, literally get the fuck out of here, right?
Yeah.
It wouldn't play out. They'd be like, who is this douchebag?
Yeah.
So I feel like people's bullshit radar has got very, very high to that kind of thing. I don't think it ever worked that effectively, but I think it's getting increasingly ineffective. Because people see it a mile off.
Yeah.
Like you said, you're like, oh, here's another 20 that have come into my LinkedIn inbox today.
And since we're coming to the conclusion of our time today, I want to ask you two more questions. And this first question is from an interview I just did yesterday. And the question is, when was the last time you changed your mind on something significant to you? And why did you change your mind?
That is a really good question. I feel like I should be giving some super like cool, fun, personal example there. But work is so full on at the moment, it's probably going to be work related. I think I'm struggling a lot with the whole work-life balance thing, trying to find that sweet spot. And so for me, I kind of swing between slipping into old habits of working evenings and weekends, and then I have to pull back. So a recent shift was me reclaiming my weekends and saying, you know what, I'm going to get some downtime. It's okay to be an entrepreneur and watch some Netflix and to chill with my girlfriend and to have fun.
Yeah.
I can't believe I just put Netflix and chill in the same phrase there. That wasn't intentional. But yeah, I think right now I'm trying to remind myself just to have fun, because I feel like it's so prevalent, right, in the entrepreneurial space, like hustle, 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 and it's pushed down your throat, and it's like trying to optimize ourselves to be like this superhuman AI robot in terms of our performance. And it can work to an extent, but it's also really damaging when you step back and it's like, oh man, like I need to just like talk shit with my friends. And like, so I'm trying to bring that into my home life. I'm trying to bring it into my work life, because I think if you're like go, go, go all the time, you're not going to enjoy the journey as much. And so I'm actively trying to make a point of just laughing more with my team and being silly and having fun. And I'm trying to change some of the content I'm consuming. So instead of like as many entrepreneurial podcasts, like I'm listening to some comedy stuff. And you don't want to be one dimensional. You don't want to be the workaholic entrepreneur, and that's all that you have going on, I think.
So what kind of change, what kind of like you mentioned, switching the content or changing up the content that you consume, what switch have you noticed in your life so far?
From doing that?
Yeah.
Huge. So recently I'm doing it more in terms of like trying to consume comedy and lighthearted stuff, because that's what I feel like I need. But I did this a while back. I realized that by auditing my content stream, it has such a profound impact, right? The same way young girls are reading beauty magazines and funny enough, they're getting body issues because of these impossible beauty standards, that kind of thing. The same maps out for all of us. So I was consuming all this workaholic hustle content for quite a long time. And funny enough, I was getting anxiety. I was feeling increasingly stressed. And so when I audited it and I put a lot more balanced stuff in there and stuff about mindfulness and just funny stuff and all kinds of things like that, instantly it's like one of the easiest fixes you can do. Even if you don't change any of your behavior, just changing your content feed will change your mindset very, very instantly.
You can easily go from, because I feel that experience as well. And when I think it comes from the feeling that you really want to do something big in a short time, and you're in your 20s and you want to really make things happen, but the reality is things take a lot of time to work their way up.
Yeah, they do. Like I wish I was still in my 20s. I'm 30 now, unfortunately. But I mentioned earlier, I've been doing this since I was 12. Like maybe not as full-time as I am now, but in some capacity I've been doing this for 18 years. And I feel like it's just now. And like my personal brand, right? That is new. I might have a decent sized company. My personal brand's new. I got like nothing. I think I got 107 subscribers on YouTube so far, 1400 Instagram followers. It's very early days, but I don't care because I see like the patience that's necessary. This for me is a 5-10 year plan. I'm not expecting anything in 12 months. And that's after I actually have leverage of having built something. So if it's someone's first foray and they don't have the 18 years experience behind them, then it's going to take even longer than that. And I think people just need to recognize that, the same way if you want to go and be a world-class soccer player, you're not going to do that in a year either.
Yeah, I think that actually answered my last question, which is what advice would you give to a entrepreneur that's starting out or they're in their journey, but they're discouraged or maybe they haven't seen the results that they've thought they would see in a certain time.
I think a lot of the discouragement comes from the shouting into the void that I mentioned before. Suddenly, when you actually care about helping people, you feel less discouraged, because imagine this, you've been posting for months, you get like two spammy comments on every post being like follow for follow, something like that. And it sucks, right?
Yeah.
So how about you message every one of your followers? You stop trying to chase the next 1,000 and you worry about the 1,000 or the 100 or the 2,000 that you already have. you take the time to message all of them. You say, really appreciate you following me. I just wanted to know, like, literally, how can I bring you some more value? What are you struggling with? I'd love to help. Out of 1,000, I did this recently with a pool, and it was something like 60% responded, which was great. But let's say out of 1,000, 400 respond. You try and help the 400, and out of those 400, it eventually boils down to like 40 or 20 or whatever. So let's say you've got your 20 people who bother to have an ongoing conversation. You get to know them, you become friends, you get out of your own head, and you start really, really helping them. And so through doing this, you are getting better at your craft, because you're learning how to help these people better. You're getting smoother at it. You're getting more confident. You're making mistakes, but you're doing it with the right intent. You're starting to build up a fledgling community around that. You're not shouting into the void anymore, because you know exactly who you're talking to. And like I say, you're getting out of your head. Like, you don't want to be like the insecure teenager staring in the mirror and obsessing over yourself. When you start focusing on the other people, then it's hard to feel discouraged, because you're like, oh man, like, I'm waking up every day to 8, 12, 17 DMs from people being like, thanks so much, man. Really appreciate the help with that. Or like, how's your day? Mm. And so you're in that energy of actually, you know, building relationships. I think the discouragement comes from it being incredibly lonely when you're being more transactional and you're just getting nothing back from the world. I think that's where the discouragement comes from.
So there's no discouragement when you're willing to give and just to keep giving, because that is sort of infinite.
Yeah, it's infinite within the capacity to which you can do it.
Yeah,
but I think so many people have the objection of, that's not scalable. And it's like, well, guess what? You're not doing it with a single person yet. Come and talk to me when you're helping 200 on the regular and tell me how scalable it is there, and then I'll tell you the next step on how to scale that. But, you know, don't worry about that yet.
Yeah. Well, thanks a lot, Tom Ross. And this concludes our podcast episode. If people want to get to know more about your brand and follow you, where can they find you?
Cool, man. So I'm on Instagram as Tom Ross Media. Also youtube.com/TomRossMedia. And if you go to TomRoss.co, that takes you to my YouTube show. I told you it's fledgling. I don't even have a website around this stuff right now. But I will do a shout out to your listeners to back up what I've said in this episode. If anyone listens to this, goes to my Instagram, DMs me being like, I'm struggling with this, I will legit give you a video reply breaking it down how to help, like, guaranteed. So hit me up.
That's great. Thanks a lot.
Anytime, man.
And thank you for coming on the show.
Thanks, really appreciate it, Gilbert. It was fun.
Thank you for tuning in to today's episode. You can find more episodes every Tuesday. If you haven't done so, please subscribe for more updates as they come. Until next time.